Did God really say that he would destroy the earth by fire? And if so, what exactly would that look like? What would that mean? Would it mean that the whole earth would be molten into metal? Would it be lifeless and formless and void as it was in the past? Well, this is Albert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. We're going to take a look today at what the end times should look like if God were going to do that. And what does it really say? What does it say in the Bible? What were the words of Jesus when he talked about it? So here we go. We're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'll read from verse 1 out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. This is not a paraphrase. This is a real, good, clear translation. This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, "What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again?" From before times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since it was, since the world was first created. They deliberately forget, and that's an unquote right there, they deliberately forget that God made the heaven and the heavens by the word of his command, and that he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. Aha! Well, that proves it right there. Well, does it? Is this the only scripture that mentions it? Let's go on. They are being kept for the day of judgment when the ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people might think. No. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should you live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along? On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, but those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with the other parts of Scripture, and this will result in their destruction. I am warning you, Peter says in verse 17, I am warning you ahead of time, dear friends, be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. And that's the end of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Just to kind of emphasize what he meant there in verse 10, but the day will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything around it will be found to deserve judgment. Well, if they're on fire and they're becoming molten, then they're already being judged, and there'll be nothing left. If the whole earth turns molten, melts under the extreme heat, everybody on earth will die. All the animals will die, all the plant life, every microbe, everything on earth will die. Let me tell you, that's a big if. We're going to see what the rest of the Bible has to say about all of these end time events. And what role does fire play in the melting away of the planet? Let's turn to Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Quote, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evil doers will be stubble. What happens when stubble meets fire? Well, it gets burnt up and there's nothing left, not even ashes. The day that is coming will set them ablaze. Set what ablaze? The arrogant, the evil, and the evildoers. Says who? Well, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave neither root nor branch. You see, the wicked people are going to burn up. But the righteous aren't stubble, they are the actual wheat. And he said to gather them into his barns for storage. In Revelation 21 and verse 1, it reads like this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Unquote. In Luke 12, verse 49, this is Jesus. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. What fire is he talking about? Well, we'll see if we can figure that out here. But first, what did Peter mean in verse 12? Waiting for and hastening the coming day of God. That's 2 Peter 3:12, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Wow. Is that really what he said there? That's the way the ESV says it. Let's see what the NLT says about this. Verse 12, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth that he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Okay, this word world could mean age, it could mean realm, it could mean the earth or the world. I think it means all of the above. It means the realm of heaven and earth, because that is what he's talking about, the new heavens and new earth. It's the whole enchilada, so to speak. I want you to notice something very carefully. It's in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6. It says, and this is the ESV, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Well, let's go to the NLT and see what it says, how it words this. I want to start in verse 5 of chapter 51 of Isaiah. Here's the way it reads in the NLT. My mercy and justice are coming soon. My salvation is on the way. This was hundreds of years before Jesus spoke. My strong arm will bring justice to the nations. If it's molten, there are no nations. They'll be molten, gone, history. All distant lands will look to me and wait in hope for my powerful arm. Look up to the skies above. Isn't that what he told us in Luke? When your salvation draws near, then look up. Look up to the skies above and gaze down on the earth below. For the skies, and get this, the skies will disappear like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a piece of clothing. The people on the earth will die like flies, but my salvation lasts forever. It doesn't mean that all people on earth will die, but only the wicked. Those who resist God are going to be history, and they're not going to be resurrected once that day of judgment arrives. My righteousness will rule, and it will never end. So let's see what we can find in chapter 34 about this. Chapter 34 of Isaiah. A message for the nations. Come hear and listen, O nations of the earth. Let the world and everything in it hear my words. For the Lord is enraged against the nations. That's what he was in Genesis, I think, chapter 6. He was angry at the people of the earth because they had corrupted themselves. Are we not in that position today? We're getting worse and worse as time goes on. And there will come a day when God says, enough is enough. I've had it. But anyway, for the Lord is enraged against the nations, his fury is against all their armies. and he will completely destroy them, dooming them to slaughter. Their dead will be left unburied, and the stench of rotting bodies will fill the land. The mountains will flow with their blood. Get this, verse 4, chapter 34, Isaiah. The heavens above will melt away and disappear like a rolled up scroll. What happens when you roll up a scroll? Well, you can no longer see the words to read off of it. They disappear. The heavens above will melt away and disappear like a rolled up scroll. The stars will fall from the sky like withered leaves from a grapevine or shriveled figs from a fig tree. Well, did we ever see anything like that from the words of Jesus himself? But let's go to Matthew 24 for just a second, if you'll bear with me. Verse 26. So if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. Or, look, he's hiding in here. Don't believe it. Why? For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures shows there's a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate the end is near. Verse 29. Immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens, or in the heavens, will be shaken. Then, at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming, and what's that sign? Verse 27. For as lightning flashes in the east, shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. So, in verse 30, and then at last his sign, the lightning, in other words, that lightens the entire sky, and that he is coming, will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all peoples of the earth. Now, why are they deeply mourning? Because they have no more hope that mankind will be saved alive. It's going to get that dire. You talk about dire straits. No food, no water, no sunlight, no one is working, no travel, no movement, no gasoline is being bought. People are holed up in their houses waiting to die, and they will give it up. All the people of the nations will be mourning because they have no hope. Now back to chapter 34, and we'll find out what's going on here. The stars melt away and disappear like a rolled up scroll because they're covered in smoke. The stars will fall from the sky like withered leaves from a grapevine and shriveled figs from a fig tree. What stars is he talking about? The same ones Jesus says, talks about in verse 29. Those stars are satellites. They look like stars in the sky at night. If you go out somewhere where there's no other human activity, no human lights to dim the view you have of the stars, there are billions of them out there, and they're visible every night. I know, because I've been there. Living in Florida, there's still a lot of land undeveloped. And I was out there camping among lots of wild animals. We must have seen hundreds of deer, hundreds of wild pigs, and hundreds of other animals, including birds and reptiles, as well as fish. But to go on, and when my sword is finished in the heavens, finished its work, it will fall upon Edom. Where's Edom? I believe it's in the Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, and also parts of Iraq, parts of Iran, and other places. But I have marked them for destruction. He says in verse 5, chapter 34, Isaiah, "The sword of the Lord is drenched with blood and covered with fat, the blood of lambs and goats and the fat of rams prepared for sacrifice. Yes, the Lord will offer a sacrifice in the city of Bozrah." There's a Bozrah in Iraq and another one, Al-Bozrah, I believe, is in Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure. "He will make a mighty slaughter in Edom. Even men as strong as wild oxen will die. And the young men alongside the veterans, the land will be soaked with blood and the soil enriched with fat. For it is the day of the Lord's revenge, the year when Edom will be paid back for all it did to Israel. The streams of Edom will be filled with burning pitch." What's that? What's burning pitch? Well, it's asphalt. It's oil without the hydrogen molecule in it. And what is oil anyway? It's the second most abundant and available liquid on the planet, second only to water. Do you know that there are more than 825 oil refineries in the world? They're in almost every single country on the planet. America has way more than its share of them, most of them being in Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. But they're also in Alaska and many, many other places in the U.S. What happens when there is a war? They go after the assets. Each enemy has those assets. What assets are we talking about? The oil refineries. It doesn't mean just an oil well here or there. It means a city filled with oil wells and refineries. These refineries bake or boil the oil and separate out all its various chemistry, kerosene, diesel, and a whole host of other chemicals that it distills. And that's why there's these giant towers that distill that oil, and they siphon off various products at a different level, and then they sell those products to people all over the world, and we buy them because we need the fuel. So going back to verse 9, the streams of Edom will be filled with burning pitch. Well, Edom, i.e. Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, Jordan, all around that area, even in Israel, there are oil refineries. When their enemies attack them and bomb those oil refineries, it could be nuclear, probably will be nuclear, but it will blow a big crater into the earth and it will expose that oil to the fire and to the air. And that's where the smoke's going to come from, folks. Get verse 10. "This judgment on Edom will never end. The smoke of its burning will rise forever. The land will lie deserted from generation to generation, and no one will live there anymore. It will be haunted by the desert owl, the screech owl, the great owl, the raven. For God will measure that land carefully. He will measure it for chaos and destruction. It will be called the land of nothing, for all its nobles will soon be gone." So my conclusion of this is that this fire is not a worldwide fire, even though the smoke does end up covering the whole planet, and that's why it disappears. If you're standing on the moon looking at the earth, it will disappear because it's covered with black smoke all over the earth. That smoke cannot be put out. The fire causing the smoke can't be put out. Well, why? because it has an endless fuel supply that goes down to the center of the earth. The oil is made by the earth. It is methane, it is hydrogen, and carbon mixed together by the earth itself. It's pushing its way toward the surface of the earth through cracks and crevices in the crust of the earth. We harvest it and sell it because it doesn't cost us hardly anything to get it. And we're making a fortune. How do you think Rockefellers got their money? Through railroad and oil interests and getting Standard Oil and so on. Well, that's the way it is with a lot of billionaires. Same way. Oil. Now, let's go to Revelation 9, starting in verse 1. Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to the earth from the sky, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. That shaft goes to the center of the earth, the molten methane core of planet Earth. When he opened it, the smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. Now, this is worldwide. Why? Even if it's contained in the Middle East, which it will not be, probably, be all over the place, because we all have that same asset. And our enemies are going to go after our assets to try to disable their enemies. That's just the way life is. The smoke comes from the fires. The fires are burning the oil, the crude oil. It's burning black smoke, and I mean it's blacker than black. Well, the earth does turn every day, 24 hours, and that oil will be here. No matter where you are on earth, and it'll get darker by the day. That's the problem. That's why all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn, if you ask me. And what does that do to the earth's daytime temperatures? Well, it raises them into the 140, 160 degree range. That's warm enough to start spontaneous combustion. And nobody's going to go to work. They're going to be hiding, trying to stay alive. That's why all the tribes of the earth are mourning. But notice this exception in verse 4. They were told not to harm the grass or the plants or the trees, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were told not to kill them, but just to torture them for 5 months. With pain like that of a scorpion sting. Still not going to be pleasant. It's going to get ugly, folks. It really is going to get ugly. You can read the rest of this chapter, but if you're really honest with yourself and you want to know what the Bible says about it, track down the word darkness. In Joel 2, in those days I will pour out my spirit on my servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. You want to know what it's going to be like in the final end times? We're not there yet, but we're sure working on it. That's what the Bible says about the end times. In verse 15 of chapter 3, the sun and the moon will grow dark, and the star, notice it says grow dark, it gets darker every day. The stars will no longer shine, and the Lord's voice will roar from Zion, thunder like from Jerusalem, and the heavens and earth will shake. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel. In other words, also the church, because we all believe in Jehovah, the one and only true God. If the earth went molten for 1,000 years, where would he reign? Are we really going to be taken to heaven? No, he's going to reign here on the earth. Do your research. Well, this is Elbert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. Thank you for tuning in today. I just want to build your faith in our Savior Jesus. Have a nice day. Thank you for tuning in.